I hope you're having a nice time. This is the Real Deal Discipleship Deck seminar. And I hope today that I just provoke you a little bit around asking better questions and being better friends with each other by the end of this. I work for Fusion, so I work for a movement that helps local churches reach students and helps students share Jesus with their mates. So particularly if you lot are thinking about going to university, we're the guys that help link you up to new local church so you land on your two feet and you thrive in your faith. If you are going to uni this September and you haven't done Student Link Up yet, please go to the tool shed and meet the team because they'll introduce you to churches right now, link you up and get you prepared for uni. But one of our big passions is to see young people and young adults not just survive in faith, but absolutely thrive. And in fact, be the kind of person that follows Jesus in such a way that other people are more passionate about Jesus having lived life alongside you. And one of the ways that we want to encourage that, one of the ways I want to talk to you about today is about actually being the kind of friend that asks good questions and gets real with your mates around you about how you're really doing with following Jesus. What you're learning, what's tough, what's challenging, what's amazing, what's exciting, and seeing whether maybe together we can push past some of the small talk and get into real nitty-gritty, hands-on life with God in the everyday. Now, I don't know about you, but I try, and I often forget, but I try not to create small talk where I ask the same question that everybody else asks. In the sense that it's really normal, right, when you meet somebody to be like, hey, what's your name? Where'd you come from? And then out of your mouth comes the words, what do you do? And that's kind of, it's easy, but I don't really like it. Because as a question, it basically implies that whether that is that you're studying or you're in employment or you're looking for work or whatever, it kind of implies that the most interesting thing about you is what you do in the world, not who you are. But it's so easy to get into that mindset because it's the classic small talk question to start things off, right? So if in doubt, what's your name, where'd you come from, what do you do? And before you know it, I've boxed somebody into their profession, which then makes it worse if they're currently struggling to find a job, not really sure what they're up to at the moment, or it just, you know, isn't a question that's going to bring out the best in them. So I try and make up some other questions to get past that small talk, slightly rubbish question. So, for example, one that I've been experimenting with in asking good questions, particularly meeting people for the first time, is like, you know, what's your name? Maybe where'd you come from, because it depends where you are. But then I might say something like, tell me your story, or what's your story, or tell me the story of your last week. It's just, I don't know, something around story rather than boxing somebody in to what you do is who you are. So I wonder, what do you ask? Like when you're meeting someone for the first time, or even you'll have been doing it all week, right? You've been sat alongside people on tables with people. How do your conversations start? Do you guys have any good questions that aren't just the standard, like, I don't know, what year are you in school? Do you have any like go-to questions that help you get under the skin of it? Not just small talk, but help ask an interesting question that might actually provoke an interesting conversation, give an interesting answer, find out something about that person that isn't just the standard tick a box as if you're filling out a form. So have a quick chat on your tables. What questions do you ask people to get interesting answers? Or what's the best question you've been asked? Go. So I want us to all learn from this. If somebody just told you what you think is a good conversation starter question, you actually can run up and tell the whole room. So you can volunteer yourself or the person that told you the question. Any ideas? What did you come up with? Not just the standard small talk questions. Did anyone hear a good question? Yeah.
What are you passionate about?
Great question. What are you passionate about? Apart from, of course, for the nightmare generations of the 80s to 30s, where we go, what are you passionate about? And we all go, everything, and I don't know, and absolutely nothing. So we do get slightly paralysed. But what are you passionate about? I love that one as well. What else? Any other good questions that we can all steal?
If you could have any superpower, what superpower would you have?
Flying. Good. Cheaper on petrol. Way more fun. Good. Superpowers. That's a great question. Anyone here got some good questions? What else did you hear that was a helpful conversation starter, not just what do you do?
Can I have a hug?
Can I have a hug? Well, come on. Be careful who you ask that to, can I just say? Not always appropriate on the train. You can't just wave at me. If you've got a question, you're going to have to run the gauntlet. The gauntlet of death, it's back. No, I'm joking. It's absolutely fine. This is similar to the wedding scenario, except Mumford & Sons were playing. Yeah.
Chocolate sponge or Victoria sponge?
Okay, that's tough. That's divided the room. Hands up for chocolate sponge. Hands up for Victoria. Hands up anything as long as it's got custard on it. Amen. Lovely. Very good. Very good. Marble cake. Ah, like a funky little combo. Nice. So I just wonder, it's worth us having a bit of an experiment with this kind of thing, because it means that when you're meeting people, we've automatically got a different kind of conversation started, not just your standard small talk. Now, it takes being brave, but it can be super fun. Like, I don't know whether anyone was at the late night filming last night, but I said one of my favourite ones is asking people about their tattoos, because there's always a story behind why someone's permanently marked their skin. Even if that story is, I don't remember how I got it, I was in Ibiza, there's still a story there. But I find that quite an interesting one to go to. Or, like I say, if you sort of say, what's your story for being here today? You can answer that as deep or as shallow as you like. You know, so someone could say, oh, well, actually, I just had a nightmare bus journey. Or they could say, I've actually been looking for a while about, like, what life's really about. So I came to this festival to see whether there was more hope available than I found elsewhere. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know whether you know this, but one of the first times that God speaks to his humanity, right in Genesis 3, God asks a discipleship question. He asks a question to his humanity, to his creation, that gets under the skin of things to find out how they're really doing. But this happens in Genesis 3, right, where Adam and Eve have just eaten of the tree that God was like, you are totally free to enjoy the whole garden, but my invitation to you is not to touch that. I'm putting in boundaries in place because the consequences of that are going to be that you're going to be exposed to things that you were never made for. Adam and Eve, you'll know the story, end up eating the fruit that God specifically invited them not to go near for their own benefit. And then after that, they hear God coming. This is so interesting, okay, because we often think, oh, God gets made knowable with Jesus in the New Testament. Actually, God is likened to lots of human traits right back from Genesis. So, Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 hear God walking in the garden. They hear God walking. The swish of branches and the crackle of twigs. And in the cool of the day, it says that God was walking in the garden. And Adam and Eve hid. They're like, I mean, it's Eden, so it's probably like covered in all of the bushes and trees and stuff. And they basically hear God coming, knowing they've just stepped away from his invitation. They've turned the other way and said, we know better than God. And they hide. And what God says in response is actually an amazing question. In fact, in the Hebrew, he says one word. When Adam and Eve are hiding, as they hear God's footsteps through the garden in the cool of the day, God whispers one word and he says, Eka. And that word Eka is a question. And the question is, where are you? Where are you? Now you can answer where are you in as many different ways as you like. So if I asked you right now, where are you? You could quite legitimately say, I'm sat in Cafe Uno, it's a little bit hot, and I didn't get a seat. You know, you could answer like that. You could answer, you know, oh, Peterborough, Soul Survivor B. You can answer, where are you? Well, I've just finished my GCSEs, and these are my choices for A-level. Where are you? Well, I'm in the middle of my summer holidays, and I'm going away with my family next week to Devon. Where are you? Well, I've actually... Is that true for somebody? Big up, Devon. That was the Lord. No, where are you? Well, I actually came to Soul Survivor wondering whether God really cared about me, but something really spoke to me last night in the worship, and I've realized that God knows my name, so now I feel loved. You can answer, where are you, in as many different ways as you like. In that moment in Genesis, I don't think God didn't know where Adam and Eve were. It's God, right? He made the garden. He sees all of the things. I don't think he was actually like a hide-and-seek scenario of, oh my word, where are they? Like, I've lost them in Eden. Like, there's not that many people here, but I've seemed to have lost mine, my only two. Nightmare. I don't think God was going, where are you? I've lost you. It's dinner time. I don't think God was asking them, are you behind that bush? What's going on with you? Actually, I think God's question was, Eka, where are you? Where are you in relation to me? Where are you Where have you gone? Where have you gone, humanity, in relation to me? Because God knew, right, that just before that, his creations had stepped away from God and chosen death, chosen what God literally said, honestly, you're not made for that. I bring life, you're not made for that. Where are you? Where are you in relation to me? I wonder, if God started with his creation asking us good questions to help us find out where we're at in our faith and turn back towards God, how good are we asking questions now? Do you have anyone in your life that asks you that achar question? Where are you? Like, where are you really? Like, how are you really doing? That question. Now, don't get me wrong. Not everybody can ask you that question because you don't want to overshare with the world. But one or two mates, your youth worker, a trusted friend who follows Jesus and wants the best for you in terms of how you follow him, you've got to have somebody other than just your own mind that steps in and says, how are you doing? How are you doing with Jesus today? Where's your faith at? Where are you? Who could that person be for you, I wonder? And what difference would it make if somebody asks you a question that you genuinely knew they cared about the answer? It wasn't small talk. It wasn't they asked you a question really so that they could answer it because they've got a more interesting answer, but it's polite to ask first. Who do you have that asks you the where are you at question? And how would it feel if somebody regularly checked in with you to see how you're doing in your faith? So have a quick chat on your tables. At the moment, is it normal for anyone to ask you how you're doing in your faith? Who does that for you at the moment, if anybody? If not, who do you reckon God might have provided for you in your youth group, your church family, your actual family? Like, who do you reckon you might have around you that would probably be the kind of person that even if it was just an over a text, maybe once a month they just check in with how you're doing in your faith? Who could that be for you, or who does that already, even if you've never really spotted it before? Have a chat. Go. Hopefully that just gets you thinking. I'm not expecting you to suddenly come up with your people today, but hopefully it just begins to get you thinking, whether you've got a cousin or a mate or someone in your class or someone in your youth group, who might, by the end of this session, you decide to have a go at experimenting with this idea of asking better questions to help each other follow Jesus closer. I remember when I first started doing this, I learned that you could do this more deliberately. Actually, I started a bit easier. Well, it felt easier at the time, in the sense that I found two other girls who were Christians in uni, in the same college as me, and we decided to email once a month, asking each other, we kind of picked and chose some really helpful questions that helped where we were at in our faith each month. And we would do an email thread where we'd have the questions at the top and fill out our answers underneath them that just helped us keep accountable on a few things. Whether that would be kind of, comfort eating and working on not doing that, or using our words really well, particularly not gossiping, or, you know, different stuff that came up in uni culture. We used an email thread over the course of a whole year to once a month check in and just help each other kind of have somebody else checking out for us that we were becoming more like Jesus, not more like the culture. So it might be you start something like that, whether that's a WhatsApp thread or even an email dialogue. And the awkward thing was the first time I did it, I put the wrong Naomi in the email. So I massively confessed a load of stuff to some random Naomi on my course, not in my accountability group. But I was like, well, if you're going to take it seriously, you might as well just bare your soul to anybody. Never mind. That's actually true, which is sad. What's amazing also in the Gospels is it wasn't that God just invented asking good questions in Genesis and then took it off the boil. You will notice that the life of Jesus is characterized by being asked questions, by asking really good questions, and by giving very few straight answers. So I don't know whether you've spotted this, right, but this is cool. This is a cool stat. Jesus asks 307 questions in the accounts of his life. He asks 307 questions. He is asked back to him. He's asked 183 questions. So that's already interesting because Jesus basically asks twice as many questions as he is asked. And of all of that, Jesus gives three direct answers. 307 questions, he asks. He gives three straight up answers back. God is a God who asks really good questions. And when people ask God questions, which you can, he loves it because that means you're chatting to him and engaging in dialogue with him, he might ask you a better question back rather than give you a straight up answer. In fact, the stats show most of the time God is going to just ask you a better question to take you on a journey with him than give you a straight answer, yes or no. That's quite challenging, isn't it? It's also really challenging when it comes to sharing our faith, because so often we say, I would share my faith, but I'm really nervous that they're going to ask me something and I don't know the answer to. Great news. Every time Jesus was asked a question, he basically didn't answer it, even if, and we assume he did, even if he knew the answer to it, he didn't tell them an answer. He asked a better question. So even when it comes to sharing your faith, like I remember one time, I tried to experiment with this. Okay, Jesus asks more questions than he gives answers. Next time I get asked a faith question that seems pretty tricky, I'm going to ask a question back. So a friend of mine says, what do you think happens when you die? Do you think there's anything after death? I don't believe in God. What do you think? And the first thing I said was, oh, that's a really interesting question. What have you heard? What would your thoughts be? What do you think? Gave the mic straight back to them. Gave them the floor space. Gave them the airtime. Actually, that was way more useful than me starting to bang on about heaven, because I got to find out where he was at, what was really going on with him, some of his experiences, people's stories that he'd heard of near-death experiences. That made it way more useful for me actually knowing and loving my friend. He wasn't looking for a right answer. He was actually looking for a chance to ask better questions and have a better conversation. How are you doing at asking good questions? And why is it that Jesus doesn't give us those direct answers? What does that bring up for us? 1 Peter chapter 3 says this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to give an answer. So Peter says, be prepared to give an answer if someone asks you about the hope you have. But Jesus never gave any answers. Huh? What I love about this is that, once again, it isn't about me and you need to have the right answer for every question, almost like a maths formula. Someone asks you this question and you know that this is the number to come out with. I reckon in 1 Peter, when it's talking about give an answer for the hope that you have, it's about giving your story, telling the truth of what you know of Jesus, not X, Y, Z, giving an ABC kind of formula. Always be prepared to share your faith, of course. That doesn't mean you have to be right. That doesn't, in the sense that you have to have gone, historically this happened, scientifically this happened. Sometimes it's just tell the truth of how you're experiencing the Holy Spirit today, why you have hope in Jesus and the difference he made to your life even last week. I love that because it takes the pressure off if you thought, I can't share my faith because I don't know how to say it properly. There's not a properly. Tell the truth. Tell him who you know. Tell him that he's got a name. Tell him you can know him too. Pray for him. Rather than think, I need to get in the crucifix and resurrection atonement and something to do with sin in the mix. And maybe even the lion and the lamb. You know, chill out. It's all right. So have a quick chat. What do you reckon about, what's your response to the idea that Jesus gives basically no answers and asks a load of good questions? And how does that make you feel about evangelism if it's pressure off for right answers, but game on for giving an answer for the hope that you have? How does that make you feel about sharing your faith? Have a chat. So, we've established God asks good questions. Questions help us follow Jesus closer when we're good friends, journeying with each other, trying to help each other be more like God. And it's pressure off, but game on when it comes to giving answers and telling the truth. Now, us lot at Fusion created a pack of cards basically to help us ask better questions. Because I understand on the spot, it's kind of difficult to always come up with a really helpful life question that helps your mate know more of where they're at with Jesus. Like on the spot, that's kind of difficult. And so, because we work with so many churches, we got our churches, like all of our top student workers, to give us a list of their best questions that they get asked by their mates to help them follow Jesus better. And we got hundreds, right? So then we bottled them down to put a question per card on a normal deck of cards, hence discipleship deck. It does what it says in the tin. You can use it as a normal pack of cards, got all four suits and all that stuff. But on every card is a helpful question that helps you get under the skin of real life, real God, and how you follow Jesus in your everyday. I need a volunteer who can shuffle the deck really well. Who's any good at cards? Brilliant. Come on up, my friend. Round of applause for our shuffler. Please, can you shuffle the deck? Thanks. So, We're going to play the game right now. So you've got four suits, exactly like you would in a pack of cards with these. The four suits are to do with your spiritual growth, questions around that, your relationships, mission, and lifestyle. So they're the four suits, and for each suit, you've then got questions in the whole set of cards relating to those different categories. So I now need four volunteers to come and pick from the deck, because we're going to go answer some of these questions on our tables now. Isaac Phillips, I think I'll just have him up for fun. Isaac, can you come up? You, sir. You. And one from over this side. Yes, my best mate here. Come on down. Oh, hi, Isaac. Good to see you. How you doing? How's life in Ireland? It's nice to have you here. I know Isaac. Known him since he was small. He's now getting bigger than me, but that's okay. I'm not intimidated. Right, could you spread the cards? And then you guys, can you each pick a card from the deck, and I'm going to get you to tell us the suit and the question. You guys need to remember these because you need to pick which one or two you want to answer with your mates right now. Obviously, go as deep or as shallow as you like. Do not overshare all at once. Don't confess all of your sin. It's not really about that. All right. Have you all got one? Okay, let's have a look. What's your name?
I'm called Kat.
Kat, what suit have you picked up?
I've got a heart.
Relationships, great. And what's the question?
Who is influencing you and what are you learning from them?
Who is influencing you and what are you learning from them? Good. One of my favourite phrases that I would tell to any teenager that I can ever find is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Are you happy with that? Cheers. Isaac.
Lifestyle. So what is your relationship with food and drink like?
Good. What's your relationship with food and drink like? You can answer that as honestly or not as you like. Like, I love crisps through to I comfort eat.
Also, lifestyle, how do you rest and does it replenish you?
How do you rest and does it replenish you? That's a massive one, because when people go, I rested really well by binging on a box set, and then you realise at the end of the day you're more tired than the start and you've never even talked to Jesus. We've got to ask a question.
Do you need to forgive anyone?
Oh, deep. I did tell you, I mean, the deck don't lie, you know what I mean? Like, there's some stuff in there. Right, so I'm going to run through them one more time, and you get to pick, like, which one would you like to have a go at answering? Obviously, don't just go all out, necessarily. Let's run through them again.
What is influencing you, and what are you learning from them?
What is your relationship with food and drink like?
How do you rest, and does it replenish you?
Do you need to forgive anyone?
Okay, that's what the deck has chosen. Have a chat on your tables. Which one do you want to answer? How would you go about answering it? Go. Okay. Obviously, they're like massive discussion questions. So I'm just giving you a taster. I understand that. Another thing that happens in the pack of cards, the deck, that could come up at any time, particularly if you did a shuffle and deal scenario, is you've got the Joker cards, right? But they also do things. They're challenge cards. So one of the challenges is to share your faith with a stranger today. Another Joker card that could come up is to spend time listening to God right now. What's he saying? And what's he saying for friends? So get you to listen and prophesy. And the final Joker card's got a blank box in it so that you can write your own question in, particularly one that might make sense for you right now in your life stage. Gives you a chance to kind of tailor-make the cards. I'm going to give you four more questions, one from each suit, that you can pick again to chat on your tables and pick which question or two that you'd like to do. So on the mission suit, you can answer this question. How would your non-Christian friends describe you? So your mates that don't know Jesus, what would they say about you? That's in mission. In the spiritual growth suit, are you worried about anything? In the relationship suit, how is your relationship with your family? That's a biggie. And in the lifestyle suit, I love this one, how would you describe your social media presence? So social media, family, worry, and how do your non-Christian mates describe you? Have another chat. What do you think? Go. Great. Well done. Well done. So there you go. You've had just like a little taster. Now, obviously, I'm not expecting you to like suddenly have deeper meaningfuls with everybody around you. But like I said, I wonder who one or two people, maybe you could even text, maybe they're here, maybe not, that you can note down and think, actually, when I get home and back to my everyday rhythm of life, this person or these couple of people, I'm going to deliberately pray with them and ask each other good questions. I'm going to think of a couple of questions that would really challenge me in my faith and add them to the deck. I'm going to think about what kind of person I want to grow into and become. How like Jesus can I become? And how can I be asked some really good questions so that I walk more like him every day? Which is kind of the way to be fully alive, right? just as a heads up, I hope we've got enough, but we've sold out the deck every Soul Survivor. Now, we've tried to, like, overstock this time, but in the tool shed, on the student link-up stand, the fusion stand, it's got, like, mission stars and orange everywhere. The team are, like, bracing themselves. But so the decks are a fiver from the stand. If it would help you to have 52 questions to kind of deal and play with, please go and get them. I'm really sorry if we have to send you them later, like take an order. I hope we've got enough to not sell out this week because we have tried to prepare. But my team are at the back and we're going to walk. Hey, Joe, all right, waving some decks at the back. Good girl. I hope we've got enough for you. But anyway, so they're just in the tool shed for a fiver. Have a go. Get real, get honest. You know, one of the fun things about experimenting with this for so many years, my mate Frere and I, we've been doing this for years together now, and we've got kind of a level of honesty in our faith now that if I walk in the room and something's gone down, she can look me in the eye and know without me saying. She can be like, how are you doing about that today? Or why didn't you sleep very well last night? Or did you just Facebook stalk somebody? You know what I mean? Like, outrageous. But thank God for friends, genuinely, thank God for friends who are willing to see my faith thrive and get my back so that it's not just about me trying to keep it all together, but I've genuinely got mates that think I'm normal, know that I'm normal, know that I screw up, love me just the same and help me be more like Jesus. Let me pray for you now that you'd have that same kind of provision.